I just had occasion, as I do on Yom Kippur, to travel to all the other services and to speak for just a couple minutes. And I thought how ironic it was that I am giving a sort of full-blown version of what I could abbreviate. And it reminded me of that story about the rabbi who gives a sermon and a reporter comes up to him afterwards and said, "Rabbi, it was a wonderful sermon. In fact, it would fit very nicely on our newscast, but you'd have to cut it down to 2 or 3 minutes. Could you do that?" And the rabbi says, "Sure." And she says, "Why didn't you?" I'm not going to, so here goes. This year, which was a birthday gift to me, my family and I went to Ireland, a place I always wanted to visit. And it is a place that has something tragic and wonderful about it. And I'm talking apart from the beauties of the land, its long history and literature, its many historical sites. Something tragic about Ireland is that it is a place with a great deal of pain and a truly tragic history. The wonderful thing about Ireland for us is that none of it involves Jews. It wasn't us. We didn't suffer there. And there is something glorious about being able to walk through a land and not feel that same sense of, when am I going to come across something from which I will have to avert my eyes? And it occurred to me that the great Irish national poet, arguably the greatest poet of the 20th century, William Butler Yeats, summarized Yizkor for all time as perhaps only a poet could do who grew up in such a tragic land. Yeats writes in one of his poems, "But is there any comfort to be found? Man is in love and loves what vanishes. What more is there to say?" It's that simple. We love, and love is what vanishes. And that, in capsule form, is the tragic history, not only of each individual, but of humanity. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a different view. This Rabbi Soloveitchik, by the way, is the grandson of the Rabbi Soloveitchik I told a story about last night. This is Rabbi Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, the great 20th century theologian and scholar. He asks a very interesting question. He says, you know, there are two times when God says that he made the Israelites a people. Once in Deuteronomy, when we go down to Egypt, and once in Exodus, when we're coming up from Egypt. And so, says Soloveitchik, which is it? Did we become a nation when we went into Egypt, or did we really become a nation only when we emerged from Egypt? And his answer is both. Because, he says, there are two different covenants that tie the Jewish people to God. First is the covenant of fate. And that covenant enunciates Yeats' point. It is a covenant of suffering and a covenant of pain. It's the covenant that ties us together for all the terrible things that happened in our history. This is the 70th anniversary this November of Kristallnacht, the beginning of the end of European Jewry. And it didn't matter what your views were, or who you were, or your accomplishments, or how many medals you had on your chest. If you had a Jewish parent, a Jewish grandparent, you were bound by this covenant of fate, this inescapable pain that engulfed our people. This is also the 35th anniversary on this day of the Yom Kippur War, part of the covenant of fate, part of the pain that is inescapable when you live in a world in which people would destroy you. And so, says Soloveitchik, every Jew knows in their bones that they share a covenant of fate, that we are in love, and love is what vanishes. What more is there to say? But, he says, it's not the only covenant. because coming out of Egypt is the covenant of faith. Israel couldn't help being slaves in Egypt, but once they left Egypt, it was a choice to accept the Torah. It was a choice to create a new land. And that is the covenant of faith. No Jew in Eastern Europe could save him or herself from the covenant of fate, but we did not have to build the land of Israel. That was part of the covenant of faith. And that same covenant of fate and of faith doesn't only apply to the Jewish people as a whole. It applies to all of us. In these days, there is shared suffering. That's a covenant of fate. There are forces greater than ourselves. But how we come out of it, who we choose, how we are led, the way in which we grow, that's a covenant of faith. And it's true not only on a global level, but also on a personal level. Each marriage embraces both covenants. Everyone who is married knows there's a covenant of fate. The things you endured together, the pain you shared, the difficulties, sometimes the tragedies. But if that's all a marriage has, it's not a marriage. There must also be a covenant of faith. The possibilities in the future, the dreams you have together, the hopes, the things you will still do that are not yet done. All of that comes to a point in Yizkor. Because Yizkor itself is a covenant of fate. It's the tragedies that we shared, the people whom we lost, those whom we loved. What more is there to say? And we mourn them with an inexpressible sense of pain, because there is nothing more incomprehensible to the human mind than that someone who was there yesterday is gone today. That a living, breathing, loving human being has vanished from our ken, from our view. But it may surprise you to know that Yom Kippur is a covenant of faith. First of all, you know that marriages were arranged on Yom Kippur. That men and women would go out into the fields and find each other on the afternoon of Yom Kippur. A custom, by the way, that we still observe in the halls of Sinai Temple. All you have to do is walk around the synagogue and you will see that people are finding each other on Yom Kippur. And in all seriousness, I have married more than one couple that met in synagogue on Yom Kippur, because it's when people are here. So that makes it as well a covenant of faith. And why is it? Let me read you a beautiful passage. Could have been written for a Yizkor service, but it wasn't. It was written by the great French poet Valéry when he was becoming the president of the Academy of Letters and he was eulogizing Anatole France, who was one of his predecessors. This is what he said. The dead have but one resort, the living. Our thoughts are their only true access in the light of day. They who have taught us so much, who seem to have bowed out for our sake and forfeited to us their advantages, ought to be reverently summoned to our memories and invited to drink to life through their words. That's taking a covenant of fate and making it a covenant of faith. The pain that you share when you transmute it to life and to possibilities, then it becomes anew, a covenant, but one of the future, not only of the past. We have to be careful, first of all, as a people. You know, there are two ways to educate a Jewish child into Judaism. There is the way of pain and the way of possibility. You know the story about two kids, two brothers who go to Hebrew school together. Now we call it religious school. And one of them is sick one day, and his brother comes home. And the first brother says, "You know, I missed Hebrew school today. Tell me, what country did we get kicked out of?" Because that was for a while the curriculum. It was all covenant of fate. It was all the tragedies, the difficulties, the challenges of our people. And they're real. They're one of our covenants. But we are also a gifted and creative and optimistic people in the face of all the tragedies and all the trials. And so we have to remember not only to teach our children one covenant, but both. Not only did we go into Egypt, but we came out. Not only did we endure the horrific experience of the Holocaust, but we have created a flourishing Jewish community, not only in Israel, but all over the world. Not only did the Irish poet Yeats write that man is in love and loves what vanishes, but he wrote many love poems. And in one of them, one of his most beautiful, he says to his beloved that he would dearly love to be able to embroider her a cloth of gold adorned with jewels, but he can't. He's a poet. And he says, "I'm poor and have only my dreams. So I spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, for you tread on my dreams." We share dreams together. All our people, our dreams, even though they are individual, we are implicated in them, one to the other. So when we move in this world, when we make decisions, when we realize possibilities, when we close doors, we have to tread softly, for these are all of our dreams. The covenant, Soloveitchik reminds us, is not with an individual, but with a people. The dreams are not just ours, but all of ours. In the Bible, Joseph is sold into slavery. And he is sold into slavery because he has told his brothers of his dreams, where they will all bow down to him. And they don't like that very much. And they push Joseph away, and many, many years later, he becomes the viceroy of Egypt. How does he become the viceroy of Egypt? As he fell through dreams, he rises through dreams. When he's in prison, he interprets the dream of the baker and the cupbearer. And the cupbearer who lives reports it to Pharaoh, and then he interprets Pharaoh's dream, and he becomes the viceroy of Egypt. And a last century rabbi in England noted what it is that makes Jacob fall and what it is that allows him to rise. Jacob, he said, fell into slavery when he only listened to his own dreams. When he learned to listen to the dreams of others, he rose. So all of us are implicated in this covenant of faith. It's what we hope for our congregation, for our community, for our country, for Eretz Israel, for the land of Israel, and for all the world. That we will not only remember the sufferings of the past, we will not only recall those whom we have lost, we will not only be bound by our powerful covenant of faith, but that we will dream together, that we will realize the possibilities in all the rich heritage of those who have gone before. We will know that if we truly love, then love doesn't vanish, and there is comfort to be found, and that the God with whom we have this covenant is eternal, the God who together with us loves, embraces, and permits us to dream. May we, in the year ahead, dream wonderful dreams and realize at least some of them together.